And I'm going to preach a thought, if God will help me, on what can a child know? What can a child know? While you're turning, I'm reminded one day this grandpa, and of course I know it ain't grandpa's day or anything, but this grandpa was sitting at the house with his grandson, and grandpa sent a car pull up, and lady walked to the door, and he told his grandson, he said, "You better go hide." He goes, "Why?" He said, "That's your teacher out there, and you late out of school today." He said, "Uh-uh, Grandpa, you the one needs to hide. I told her I was at your funeral." Any nice being a grandpa? All right. 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse number 3, and we'll read a few verses. Paul said, "I thank God, whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembered of thee in my I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." Paul's talking to Timothy. "Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded in thee also." Now, I'm going to stop here. Paul used that word persuaded a lot. And if you study Paul's epistles, you'll find where several times, and that means he said, "I have no doubt." Paul talked about being persuaded about the love of God, about God being able to keep us saved. And he used it here, being persuaded that the same faith and the same anointing that was on his grandmother and his mother was on Timothy also. Now, look at chapter 3, verse number 15. Paul's still speaking to him, and he says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." Notice the word "known." "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Let's pray quickly. Father, we love you this morning. And we're so thankful for allowing us to be in your house today. Lord, I realize many that would love to be in our place that are not able to be because of sickness, death, different things that's come upon them or their family. And Lord, we pray a blessing upon them today, encourage them. But Lord, I'm thankful that you've given us the strength, the enablement to be in your house. And I pray in Jesus' name for thine anointing, thy power, thy strength. Lord God, preach through us as a dying man to a dying soul. And Lord, with a crowd this size, Lord, I realize some may be here unsaved today. And I pray the Spirit of God would draw them unto repentance. And Lord, you'd save them before it's eternally too late. And Lord, I pray that you'd encourage your people. Lord, many have walked in the building today and discouraged. Lord, down and out, fighting a battle. And Lord, I don't know every battle. I don't know all the discouragement and the depression that may be in the building today, but you do. And I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, you lift up spirits today and encourage hearts. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, to illuminate our mind. And Lord, make preaching easy. We need help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, again, what can a child know? We see here, he said in verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." Now, look how important that is that a child know and be taught the Word of God. Amen. Folks, the only thing that will not return void is the Bible. Amen. Most everything else, our voice, our word, can fall on deaf ears. But the only thing, even though it may not seem to be helping at the time, that God can plant in a heart and do great work, the Word of God will not return void. So from a child, he knowed, he was taught the Holy Scriptures. Now again, we understand that God's idea or ideal for the home is a daddy, mother, and children. We understand that. We don't back up from that. That's the Word of God. I can't do that. However, when a deadbeat dad don't hang around, God doesn't say your children are hopeless. Lois and Eunice said, "You know what? Your daddy ain't worth 2 cents, but we're going to teach you the Bible." We're going to teach you the Word of God. We're going to make sure you're in the house of God. And what the faith that they had, the spiritual strength they had, they made sure. I don't say they taught him how to play ball. They might have had. It don't say they taught him different things, but they taught him the Holy Scriptures. They made sure he was founded on the Word of God. And he watched their lives, and the strong faith that they had was instilled into him enough for God to say, you know what, Paul, I'm going to call that young man. He's going to be one of the very first pastors under your ministry. He's going to serve, and I want you to take him in. I want you to mentor him. Paul called him his son in the faith. And he embraced Timothy, Paul did, and helped him in the Scripture. But you know what? The foundation that he had didn't come from Paul. Doctrinal truth and learning may have, but the foundation of the faith didn't come from Paul. It came from his mother, and it came from his grandmother. Amen. Now, again, I don't have a lot of confidence. I don't have a lot of good things to say about deadbeat daddies. Amen. And a mixed crowd, I'm not going to say all I want to say today because there's probably a touch of flesh in there. Amen. Hey, they're yours too, Hoss. And you're going to give account to God. But you know, even if you don't care about that, and if you don't, you don't want to worry and fool with that child, that's all right. That don't mean God won't fool with them. That don't mean God won't put somebody in their life to give them the ground and the truth they need. Amen. We just pray they raised up, get saved. God used them, they lead you to Christ. Amen. I wonder about a man's soul won't raise his children. Amen. Amen. Man won't have to do with his kids. You say, well, they won't let me. They won't let me. Well, that's another argument. But yet, folks, I thank God for mamas is what I'm trying to say. Amen. Let me get out of that, but I'm going to have to repent before I preach. I done repented three times before I got up here about other stuff. Amen. But I thank God for our mothers. Let's be honest. The majority of the good things our children learn, they learn from our mother. Now, I want to say this. My mama was a good cook. My daddy was a man's man, and he was a good cook. My daddy was choir. That's where I get it from. And he wanted to eat supper at 5 o'clock. Not 5:05. 5 o'clock. Well, there was a problem. The problem was that my mother didn't get off work at 4:30. He got off work at 3. So with that strict regimen of eating we had, 5 o'clock. So he started cooking. And I'd see him in there. Man, he'd cook about everything but a biscuit. Cornbread, anything. He'd cook everything. It was all good. All good and fattening. That was good. If it ain't fattening, it ain't good. Ron Paul ain't here for me to have to lay back on that. He made me and Bud breakfast the other day. I told him when I walked on the porch, I don't smell one hog cooking in here. He said, you ain't going to. But anyway, that's another. But he could cook. You preacher, why are you getting on this? I'm going somewhere. And I asked him one day, Daddy, how do you know how to cook? I mean, I understood how mama could cook. I understood how women could cook, but watching my daddy cook. I mean, we was praying, dear Lord, please don't let an ash from that cool filter fall in that gravy. He knew how to cook. And I asked him, I said, how do you know how to cook? He said, just watch my mama. That's what he said. He said, I used to just watch mama. And he said, it come back to me. And he said, well, that's not spiritual. I understand that's not spiritual, but that was a good thing he learned from his mama. Amen. I mean, he cooked whatever he wanted to cook, but a biscuit. We had to wait on mama for that. Mama cooked breakfast. We ate lunch at school. Daddy cooked supper. I mean, you got to, hey, when you got a physique like mine, you got to be nourished. But I asked him, I said, how in the world? And he said, watching my mama. Now, my grandma Turner had 9 or 10 children. And I could, the ones that my uncles, Patsy's daddy, Billy's daddy, and Duncan, all of them would kill you over their mama. And they all, I don't know about Dean, but I know Harold could cook. I know they had certain things, and they all learned it from mama. And I think back of my own life of things that I've learned. My mother taught me how to sing. Now, you understand, well, that's a talent, but she taught me and my sisters how to sing parts. And she'd aggravate us about it. I mean, you get off. She tried to teach me how to sing bass one time. All I know was, hoo, hoo. She said, "How you do it?" I said, "Mama, I can't do that." So she taught me how to sing tenor, amen. But anyway, I mean, and she was the one when I got in a backslid state as a teenager. I was at church, but my heart and mind was in a backslid state, and I just kind of backed off from everything that she was trying to put into me. And she looked at me and she said, "Boy, you don't use what God's given you, you're going to lose it. He'll give it to somebody else." Now, my daddy was a great disciplinary, but he didn't get involved in those conversations. He didn't say anything. And she'd tell me, I guess, a half a dozen times from the age of 16 to the age of 15 to 18, she'd tell me, point her little finger in my face and say, "You're going to lose it. You don't use it. God's give you that." And I remember when I finally rededicated my heart to Christ, got serious about the Lord again, and God called me to preach. And see, I can go through Mama's old Bible, and I can go through every time she ever heard me preach. It's pinned down in there. I can go through her Bible and read when I was called to preach. The date I preached my first sermon. The date I was ordained. The week, the date I preached my first revival. All those things, they didn't have them pinned down because he couldn't hardly write. He didn't have them pinned down. But Mama did. And I have that Bible in my possession to this day. And you know what? She was dead on it. When I finally, I didn't even have this in my notes. When I finally said, "All right, man, I'm going with God." And I tried to sing after 3 or 4 years. I couldn't. Couldn't hold a breath. Couldn't keep a tune. Couldn't do anything. And guess what? Rung in my ears. "You don't use it, you're going to lose it. And God's going to give it to somebody else." And I had to repent of that because she had taught me better. She was an example. I remember one time, I'm just talking about mamas this morning. I remember one time I was being ugly that morning. And Mama got up on the wrong side of the bed, which she hardly ever did. And I made her mad. And she first grabbed me, was going to shake me, but I was 3 times her size. That didn't work. So she wrung my jaws. It didn't hurt either, but I said, "Ow." I mean, I didn't know what else she's planning on doing. Well, I had a football game that night. She smacked me across the face. You'd have said, "Well, you should have called the police." Well, the police would have arrested me. I'd have called the law down there, and my mama standing this high. And me standing there like this, she hit me. I wasn't much of a man then, but I was more of a man than that. And I remember, had a ball game that night, and we was having a team meeting. Somebody come in the gym and said, "Your mama's out there." And I'm thinking, she must be going to smack this other jaw. And I went out there, tears coming down her face. She said, "I've been upset all day long." She said, "I shouldn't have done that." She said, "I didn't want that." And folks, I done forgot about it. I mean, you're a teenage boy, you don't care. I mean, I done forgot about it. She said, I didn't want that on your mind tonight. And she hugged me and she kissed me. She said, "I'm sorry." And I'm thinking, I'm thinking, "Mom, it's okay, it's okay." And she went on back to the house. Folks, that's what mamas do. mama, even though we know the Bible said, dad, the man is the head of the house as far as administration and being in charge of the home. But the Bible said the mother is the heart of the home. She is the guide of the home. She keeps the home sane. Amen. And we learn so much from our mamas. Now, I'm going to cut a lot of this out because I didn't preach too long on that. But what can a child know? Let me run through some of these. My time's gone. Let me run some of these. What can a child know? Well, let me make sure I'm at the right spot. First of all, let me know this. Let me tell you this. A child can know how to hear from God. Folks, let me say something. Don't underestimate what your child can learn and know about God. I thought about the intelligence of a child, verse 14, 15. The involvement of a child, Proverbs 20, verse 11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. See, it's even important for your children to have a good testimony. Get a hold of that. Why, folks, you understand why it's important to teach your children the Word of God and teach your children to respect their elders and their authority? You understand how important that is because they'll give account for it. And you're going to give account if you're teaching it to them or not.
Amen. That's right.
Well, 1 Samuel chapter 3, the Bible says this, and the child Samuel, you get that? The child. Now, we understand Samuel grew up to be a great prophet. A great leader of God. But in this text, he was still a child. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Listen, that the Lord called Samuel and he answered, here am I. The child Samuel. Folks, you remember who Samuel was? You remember whose boy he was? Hannah. And she said, Lord, if you'll give me a man child, I'll give him back to you. Mamas, how many of you have ever given your kids back to God? How many of you ever give your children? I'm talking about spiritually. Lord, they're yours. Do what you do with them. You know what? When God chose him to leave and she took him to Eli, the man of God, and she went once or twice a year during sacrifice to see him and to bring him stuff. But she gave him wholly to God. And guess what God did? God called him as a child.
Amen.
You want God to use your children? Give them to him. And I'm not telling you to take them to some church and leave them on the doorstep. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, hey, in your heart, in your life, you say, Lord, they're yours. Stop trying to live what you didn't get to live in your youth through them. That ain't God's plan for them. That's your plan for them. You're welcome. Well, I wanted to be a beauty queen, but I wouldn't and didn't get to be one, so I'm going to make my daughter one. I didn't get to be a football star, so I'm going to make my son one. Ain't nothing wrong with either one, but that's your plan. That ain't necessarily God's plan. Hey, how about first then, Lord? What do you, whatever you want with them, however you want to use their life, here they are. That's what Hannah did. That's what Hannah did. She handed him to God. And folks, hey, he's one of the greatest characters of the Bible. They are. Remain faithful to his dying day. Hey, your child can know how to hear from God. Your child will know how to hear from God. And get this. Even Samuel as a child knew Eli's my authority. And he would not even stir a conversation up until Eli said, hey, it's the Lord. When he calls you again, you just tell him you're here. And whatever he says, you do. Man, I could say a lot about that, but my time's gone. Number two, a child can know how to hear from God. A child can know how to give to God. The Gospel of John chapter 6, When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what is that among so many? And the lad gave to God. Can I tell you, he gave more to God that day than a whole multitude of adults. Get that. Your child can know how to hear from God, and your child can know how to give to God if you teach it to them. If you teach it to them. Some of you won't teach your kids to tithe because you don't do it. You don't teach your kids to witness because you don't do it. You don't teach your kids to have private time with the Lord and pray and read your Bible because you don't do it. And they're missing out on the greatest thing of their life. They can know how to give to God. They can. These kids that put money in there, they're learning how to give. Hey, well, I can't afford to get my kids money put in Sunday school. One less Diet Pepsi every week, that's $2 right there. Yeah, $3. Come on. Cut back on that skull. There's $10. I don't know how much that junk costs. If I'm going to do something like that, I'll just bend down and get a handful of dirt and eat it. Better for you. I'm messing now, ain't I? And you guys going, no. Teach them how to give. If they rate leaves for Mr. or Miss So-and-so, tell them. My father-in-law used to aggravate my wife and her sister to death. Every time they make a dollar, he'd say, you got to tithe on that. But you know what? Me and her don't have trouble tithing now because that's what she's taught. And giving. So, we on Mother's Day and preaching on tithing. Come on now. Who'd ever thought it? Let's take up an offering again. Amen. Get them kids some money. Your child can know how to hear from God. They can know how to give for God. Get this. Your child can know how to fight for God.
Amen. That's right.
1 Samuel 17, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. And he a man of war from his youth. You understand, Goliath was taught how to be wicked from his youth.
That's right. That's right.
David was taught how to honor God from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth, and he arose against me, and I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Here's something. The one person there that nobody thought could fight was the only person there that would fight. A youth. A youth. See, he'd been along with God and fought some battles nobody knew about. Man, he should have put it on Facebook. He should have had his cell phone out with that dead barren lion in his hand. He'd done fought bigger battles in his youth than his big brother Eliab had ever fought in his life. And nobody knew it. Hey, we need to teach our children how to biblically stand for God. How to make a difference for the Lord. Not to teach them how to walk a tightrope and see how ungodly and worldly they can look without actually being in sin. Huh? We spend more time, and I'm going to ruffle some feathers here, but I love you. We spend more time prepping them for the prom than we do telling them how to pray.
That's right.
That's right. Amen. What kind of dress can I buy to show just enough, cover the essentials, but show the rest of it off? Come on now. Hey. Then when they get 21 years old and out of your house and won't go to church, preacher, pray. Oh, yeah, I've been praying for them a long time. I just needed some help from you down the road. Somebody taught David, I believe it was his mama. Somebody taught David how to stand for God. How to make a stand for the Lord. Everybody happy? No, y'all not happy. I can see it. But I love you with everything in me. A child can know. A child can know how to hear from God, how to give to God, how to fight for God. Hey, a child can know how to live for God. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king, with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Come on. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Well, let me tell you something. The case that is in question of Daniel's age during all this time, you understand that five times in Daniel, him and the Hebrew boys are called children. Chapter 1, verse 4, 10, 13, 15, and 17. They're called children. And they walked in there and said, we're living for God in the midst of this. Folks, you understand Nebuchadnezzar picture of the devil. You understand that? Babylon, Babylonian, that's a picture of the world. And they had it all at their fingertips. As a matter of fact, they were brought in because of their knowledge and their exception in certain things, and they were going to be taught the ways of the Babylonians. They were going to deprogram them of the things of God and program them of the things of the world, and they're going to really mess their mind up and really going to let them live it up, eat the king's meat, drink the king's wine, get drunk, party. And those boys said, not us. They were children. They were children, not us. Mama taught us better than that. Not us. We're not doing it.
Amen.
Now, there was a bunch of them brought into captivity. I don't know what the rest of them did, but them four boys said, nah. No. They faced the fiery furnace and said, nope. Throw us in there. God can deliver us or we're going to go to heaven. It don't matter to us. We ain't defiling ourselves. Amen. Throw Daniel in the den of lions. Whatever. Yeah. They were purring like kittens. God give them lockjaw, every one of them, and an upset stomach. But when he threw that other crowd in there, all that, he healed all that. Hey, you can teach your children how to live for God. Somebody taught Daniel the value of purity. Somebody taught Daniel how to entreat his authorities. Man, hey, he knew how to behave himself. Hey, lastly, let me hurry. I know it's time to eat. Our children can know how to rejoice in the Lord. Matthew 21, verse 14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, listen, and children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Hey, children were worshiping God. Tears coming to their eyes, praising the Lord. Children were doing it.
Amen.
And he said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus answered them, yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise?
Yeah.
Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise.
Amen.
You can teach them. You can teach them how to praise the Lord. Folks, you ought to have your kids in an atmosphere of praise. Have them in a church that biblically praises God.
Amen.
I ain't talking about disco. I'm talking about biblically praises God.
Right.
The Spirit of God has moved in this place. And I've seen children get in on it.
Amen.
I've seen little children sleep through it. God soothed their soul. They knew what was going on. I won't mind around that. Amen. Won't mind around that. Hey, I look around the church when we're singing or something, and if mama is holding that baby and does this, don't quit looking. It won't be long, that baby go. Well, they don't know what they're doing. Hush, you don't know that. You don't know what you're doing. I've seen them in the choir. I've seen them out in the pew. See them give a testimony. Give prayer request. Go to the altar. Hey! That's better than anything that can be taught. Let me give you this final thought. I'm done. Boy, I run through it, didn't I? Children can know a lot. But here it is. Who's going to teach it to them? Who's going to show it to them? Who's going to live it in front of them? Who's going to give them a chance? Here you go, teacher, in the text. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Okay, get this. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Somebody taught Timothy this, and we know it was his mother and grandmother. And he said, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. What are you teaching your children? What are you teaching them? How to cuss? Folks, I'm going to give a sad story here. It's a true story. And in no way am I being critical. My heart still aches for this friend of mine that's right now sitting in a jail cell. My heart still aches for him. And I understand when we get a certain age, we old enough to make our decisions right and wrong. We understand that. I'm not one of these say, well, it's because of this, they doing that. No. When I got in trouble, I was going against what I was taught. Amen. When I misbehaved, I knowed better. I was rebellious. But I still want to say this. I used to be at this friend's house, and I watched his daddy teach him to do the most ungodly things. He'd want, need something. His daddy would say, go steal it. I heard it. I saw it. His daddy handed him beer. His daddy handed him pornography. His daddy enlisted him to help him cheat on his mama. Hide this shirt here and do this here, and I'm going to go off and do this, and had him taught him how to laugh about it. And he's 55 years old, and he has no clue how to be a man, how to be a daddy. He's shot, and he's in everything now. He's the victim, and it's everybody else's fault, and you can't talk to him. What are you teaching your children? What are you teaching them? What are you teaching them? You're teaching them something? You teach them how to gossip? How to be critical? Yo, I'm not teaching my kids the things that your friends did, but no, you might not. But you're teaching them how to be critical? How to be Pharisees? How to have a better than thou attitude? That's wicked too, by the way. You teaching them not to have a servant's heart and spirit? Not teaching them how to work for God? What are you teaching them? I mean, that's just an honest question. My three are grown. Oh, yeah, I could have done a whole lot better. A whole lot better. By the grace of God, we try to teach them this book. How to love God, respect authority, respect. Hey, we tried to teach them how to be respectful to the janitor, just like we did the principal. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you teaching them? What are you teaching your children? You teaching them good things or bad things? You teach them things that's going to be a blessing to them for the cause of Christ down the road? Or are you really teaching them how to just leave church and quit on God? Are you teaching them that church is a top priority? Or just something we do when we don't have nothing else to do? What are we teaching them? What are we teaching them? Help me, Lord. Let's all stand. Come on, Courtney. Thank you for your patience. The altar is open if you need to come, whatever the Lord has spoke to your heart.